Mr. George Soros, Mr. Afsan Chowdhury, and Ms. Olayide Akani, thank you so much for joining us today. Mr. Soros, I'd like to start with you. Can you briefly explain the mission of Public Health Watch, which is an initiative of the Open Society Institute, and why tuberculosis is important to Public Health Watch?
Public Health Watch is an outgrowth of our efforts to support civil society in holding governments accountable. We do this in various areas, and it's part of our overall effort to promote democratic open societies. We got involved in tuberculosis in Russia, in Soviet Union, when we wanted to open up the prison system. And by dealing with tuberculosis, we had actually the support of the prison authorities, because guards are as subject to tuberculosis as the prisoners. So it was a very effective way of getting into the prison system for prison reform. And we hoped that we could actually eradicate tuberculosis by using the DOT protocol, directly observed treatment, which actually I gave $12 million to that effort. And naively, I thought that that would actually work. But then we ran into multidrug-resistant tuberculosis. And that is, of course, a problem that requires a much, much larger effort. So that's when we got involved in the intricacies of tuberculosis treatment. The World Health Organization had to change its protocol. And I think now we have face a similar problem, because you now have extremely or drug-resistant tuberculosis strain, which currently doesn't respond to any treatment.
Now, you mentioned holding governments accountable to their people. I know good governance is something that's very important to you. What role does good governance, or lack thereof, play in the spread of tuberculosis?
Well, there is a little bit of a closed circuit between the World Health Organization and the governments that constitute, are members of the World Health Organization. And it's very important to create space for the civil society, partly to influence government policy and partly to involve civil society, because their involvement is very important in dealing with any disease, because awareness, public awareness, and then public pressure on governments are the two major ingredients that move things forward.
One quote that really stood out to me in the report that Public Health Watch issued today, called Civil Society Perspectives on TB Policy, this was a quote: "We have no dearth of policies. The question is how to implement them." Yeah. So how do you go from rhetoric to action?
But for that, you have to turn to be prepared the document, because I am not an expert in this.
So, Ms. Akani, I'll start with you. How in your country do you think, of Nigeria, how do you go from rhetoric to action to implement tuberculosis policies?
I think that going from rhetoric to action is actually the basis of this research, because we know that there are policies in place, but the research looked at how are the policies being implemented, what are the gaps in the policies as at now, and what can we do to make it better. One of the things that came out clearly from the report is that if we want to expand DOT services and make access to DOTs for everybody, you need to increase awareness about DOTs. You need to increase awareness about what the symptoms of TB are, how TB is treated, where people can access services. If there's nothing on ground, if there's no system or structure on ground to expand that knowledge, then you cannot say you're improving access to DOTs. Another thing that was key is that if you don't address the issues of stigma and discrimination that relates to TB. People will not access the services even though they are there. And we also found out from the research that there are a whole lot of things. It's not just about putting drugs on the table or making drugs available. You have to also build strategic partnerships with civil society who have already a baseline of mobilizing their people to access services. For instance, in HIV and AIDS, we found that civil society has done a lot to mobilize support for the program on HIV and AIDS within government. But in the TB program, there's very little involvement of civil society. And that's why people are not accessing treatment. The TB problem is getting higher and higher. And there's also a strong linkage between TB and HIV. HIV is causing a resurgence of TB cases. And if we don't involve the beneficiaries of care, the people who are most affected in the government program for TB, you cannot talk about reducing the burden of TB.
Let's talk about a couple of your points. One of them you talked about awareness. What did you find about awareness? Is there high awareness, low awareness in terms of tuberculosis?
Well, one of the key findings of the research is that there's very little awareness. There's low awareness about TB within the people who should know. Within the PLWA community, for instance, most of them don't know where they can access TB services if they have TB. Most of them don't even know the basic symptoms about TB, how TB is spread. Even within the media, there's little coverage of TB issues. So that gives an indication of the level of awareness. Because, for instance, if something is not visible to the media, then you can realize that the awareness about the issue would be very low. TB issues are only reported or covered around World TB Day. That means they are oftentimes event-driven. And if the media is not giving out information to people, people depend a lot on the media for information. And if the media is not giving accurate information, then it also translates to the level of awareness. So among the people who should know, who should be the beneficiaries of care, there's very little awareness. Among even healthcare workers, sometimes there's also, we found out that there's very little awareness. Among the political leaders, the people who people respect, you know, the traditional political leaders within the country, there's very little awareness about TB. So this just goes to show that TB is not very well known as compared to HIV in Nigeria.
You also mentioned stigma. What kind of a role does stigma play?
I think that stigma has a major role to play in the way people access services. I remember discussing with a state TB program manager, and she said that stigma is also affecting the way their program is operating. They go to places to follow up on clients, and clients don't want them coming because they see the motorcycles that has the national TB program written on it. And so clients give wrong addresses, you know, just to dissuade them from coming to follow them up. And so if a client has that kind of impression because he or she doesn't want to be stigmatized, you can imagine the effect it will have on the person adhering to treatment. So there are all sorts of myths and misconceptions about people who have TB. And then even on the part of those who are receiving treatment, they don't want to be stigmatized by the community because stigma is a big issue for them. You know, they want people to accept them. So the issues of stigma need to be dealt with. They're a major constraint, barrier to accessing treatment for TB in Nigeria.
So for both of those issues, awareness and stigma, what role do you say civil society plays in that?
I think that the role of civil society is crucial. From the HIV and AIDS experience, people living with HIV are now more vocal 5 or 10 years down the line. 5 or 10 years ago, people didn't talk about HIV in Nigeria. But now, because people living with HIV are more open about their status, they have, you know, they are working with the media, and the media has also kind of brought to light the fact that somebody can live positively with HIV. The issues of stigma are gradually reducing as regards HIV. And I think these lessons can also be brought to bear on TB. If people realize that TB is not a death sentence, that it's curable, that treatment is available, and treatment can be accessed, then the perspective, the social perspective as relates to TB will change. I think because so much information is not being put out in the media about TB and by people who are affected by TB, there's still some kind of stigma related to it. But if people who are affected come on board to speak openly about the fact that, look, I had TB, I'm cured, and I'm much better, it changes the perception of the people regarding TB.
Now, Mr. Afsan Chowdhury, you're from Bangladesh, and one of the programs that was discussed in the report is this female community health worker program that your organization, BRAC, runs. Can you talk about this program and why it's worked so well and how it's not only helped with tuberculosis but other development issues?
BRAC is an organization which has got multiple programs. The primary one is that of livelihood support and is done through microcredit. Now, this microcredit operates through forming groups in different villages. And these become very strong because it is linked to their livelihood. That is the main strength. So these members of that group constitute the civil society of that village. On the health program, especially the TB program, the members of that village organization choose or select one person to be the community health volunteer. This community health volunteer goes around trying to detect or trying to identify those who have tuberculosis or symptoms of TB. And then, this is a female health volunteer, she refers the person to the health center for test. And once the person is tested, the person is then given the disease, the treatment regimen, and she makes sure that the patient takes the medicine. In the process, two things are done. One, there is a contract between the patient and the health worker. The patient, who is detected as TB, active TB, deposits 200 taka, which is about $3, and this is returned to that person provided the person completes the treatment. And a percentage of that goes to the health worker. Now, of course, the full money is returned because that is being paid out of BRAC budget, but that makes that person the most reliable in that particular community. That is because she has made sure that somebody who was sick has received treatment, got well, and got treatment which was supervised by this person. And this is supported by the community because she's not paid any money. What she has done, what people do, or what BRAC does, is give her medicines. And these are over-the-counter medicines, and which she sells to the community. So it's like for headache or stomachache or something like that. And there's a small markup. But what happens is this is the financial benefit that she gets out of this process. And now this is sustainable because the program is not spending any money to maintain her. But she is doing her work. And she also, this is very important, their sense of pride and dignity that she has helped her neighbors also is a cause of inspiration for her. So that's why it seems to be working.
Now, Ms. Akani referenced how the TB community is still kind of trying to find its voice, and it seemed all throughout the report that seemed to be the case. Why do you think it is that the tuberculosis community is still trying to find its voice for advocacy?
Well, let me put it this way, that when BRAC, my organization, got into TB was in the mid-80s. That is before WHO was declaring it as a national emergency, largely because we know that tuberculosis is the principal threat to livelihood of poor people. So you move to TB not because it's a health problem only, it's a livelihood issue. So we have been working with TB for almost 15 years. Now, we know we have moved into action before rhetoric, to be quite straight. And we have built our own network. The situation now, today, is that we have the system through which the treatment regime can be supported. And BRAC covers two-thirds of the country. And I should mention that Bangladesh is one example where the service delivery is entirely being done by the NGOs, unlike other countries, where the NGOs have the structure to deliver the TB treatment. But there are many challenges, and one of the biggest challenges, of course, is the fact that you are dealing with a community of impoverished people who need time, who need support, especially during the periods when they are under treatment. And this is where stigma comes in also, especially for women. Now, there is stigma for men as well, because if people know they have tuberculosis, they may not allow that person to work. If you have stigma before marriage, you will find marriage difficult, and this is a major social issue. This is something we need to deal with. We also need to deal with a system which is far less efficient, and given the fact that demands are so high. We're dealing with a country where almost 60% people are TB positive, out of which about 10% will become active TB patients. So you're dealing with several million of patients. For that, you need a high level of response For that, you need highly efficient systems. That probably is not there. So that's where the rhetoric comes in, where we are saying it's not just the medical establishment, it's not just NGOs, it's civil society, and by that we mean the consumers. So our loyalty, in a way, is to the people, those who need to take advantage of the services. And we are trying to involve them. Media, of course, is part of that. And we have seen in the last 2 years, media has reported on tuberculosis more than they have reported in the last 2 decades.
Why do you think that is?
Well, partly because as a matter of policy, we have decided to get media involved. There is a lot of competition. I myself am a journalist for almost 30 years. I know I could not sell my, well, I found it so difficult to sell my story on tuberculosis to the BBC. BBC did not want to buy it. They said, no, this is not an important story. Who wants to know about TB? I could sell my AIDS stories very easily, but not the TB. But I had to fight with them, and ultimately it did happen. So I think there is an overall feeling, understanding, that TB is not a problem. And we need to remind that TB is a problem. HIV, in a way, has actually revived this issue. HIV has reminded people that TB has not gone away. TB is there. TB is killing. I think that is what makes the difference.
Now, Mr. Khan, you're also a journalist. I'd like your comments on journalists in Nigeria and other parts of Africa and how you think the media could do a better job of covering tuberculosis.
I think that for most journalists in Nigeria, even from my experience, TB wasn't an issue until World TB Day, and that was it. But I think that proactively engaging with journalists, creating the space for them to discuss TB issues, to liaise with the national TB program managers, and also piggybacking on the media awareness that HIV has gotten will go in a long way in raising the profile of TB. What we have done in Nigeria, for instance, is create fora where people living with HIV who have had experience with TB are also sharing their experiences with the media and telling them, hey, look, I've had TB. It's a problem for us people living with HIV. And that has gradually raised the profile. But I think it's important that civil society helps to keep the issues in the media, because you see that traditionally from the national TB program, it seems they're always media shy, unlike the HIV and AIDS program, who is always in the news because they also have civil society support. The national TB programs are media shy and they're kind of secretive, you know, they are not so open to the media. But it's also to ensure that you engage with groups who are already open to the media, who can talk, you know, very frankly and accurately about the issues and work with them to raise the profile of TB in the media.
Mr. Soros, I'd like to ask you the last question. How do you feel political will plays into all of this, and how world leaders can support civil society in the fight against tuberculosis?
Well, there is a global fund for infectious diseases, which is actually a very good organization because into its structure, civil society participation is already introduced. And the difficulty is to keep on funding it. That's, from our perspective, is the biggest challenge. The United States was original supporter, but actually is very generous with regard to HIV/AIDS. But most of the money now goes into a U.S.-run effort, PEPFAR. So how to regain American leadership in funding the global fund? The European Union, European countries, are much more committed to it, but it's difficult to get America to put in its share.
Mr. George Soros and Ms. Olayide Akani and Mr. Afsan Chowdhury, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.